Well, amen. Thank you so much, Brother Daniel, and thank you, Miss Carmen, for playing, and Brother Johnson playing earlier as well. What a joy to have good, wonderful music and thinking about how good God is. And as I mentioned, it's good to be here after Thanksgiving, and they're trying to adjust some things on the microphone there. I think, again, bear with us. But it's wonderful to be here and think about all the things. Hopefully you got to spend some time with family or friends. Now, they tell me that there's enzymes and things in turkey that make people sleep, but please don't use that as an excuse to sleep during the sermon this morning. I don't think you can carry that over from Thursday till now. I don't think that hangs out in your body somewhere and you get to use it strategically. So you'll be like this one little boy told his dad, said, "Boy, Dad, good thing we go to church. If it wasn't there, you would never get any snaps, any sleep." And Curtis Hudson, before he went to heaven, he said, "I don't mind the people that sleep during the sermon." He said, "It's those ones that stay awake that worry me." He said, "The people that sleep, they trust me, assume I'm going to take the church in the right direction. It's those ones that stay awake and watch me. They are the ones that make me nervous." So we'll have a good time, and we'll trust that the Lord will give us a good morning message. We got to travel over to Murfreesboro, and we ate dinner with Amy's family and had a good time together, and it's always fun to get to enjoy family time, and hope you got to do the same. Her nephew has three little ones, and I think Baylor is three, and of course, you know, you started already. A lot of people started listening to Christmas music long before Thanksgiving was here. Now, some people, that's a no. No, you don't do that. And you say, "Oh, that's wrong. You got to get the holidays in order." But Baylor had heard somewhere, they'd heard some Christmas music, and the little drummer boy was coming on, and she said, "Oh." They said, "Well, you don't like that?" I said, "No, there's too many rumpa-pum-pums in that song." So some Christmas songs get to you a little worse than others, I guess. And so maybe that one does have too many rumpa-pum-pums. But what a joy to be here in the church house this morning for Thanksgiving, and I hope that you're able, and I know many of you did, you brought your family in, and I hope that we are all able to do that as family comes, that we're able to schedule a time in when they come be at church and get to meet your church family, and it's a joy to get to see each of you. We have our wonderful friends, the Busseys. You get to meet them some tonight, but Brian Bussey is a wonderful friend and pastor, but a friend for many, many years, and we're thankful to the Lord they were able to stay with us, and we're just glad to be back amongst all of us this morning. So I want to preach a little while about the blessings that God brings without sorrow. The blessings without sorrow. If you find your place in the Scriptures in Proverbs chapter 10, we'll look there, Proverbs 10. While you're finding your place there in Proverbs 10, I did hear this story. You know, everybody, all those people in Texas, they all think that everything's bigger and better in Texas, and, you know, nothing beats Texas and all that. I heard about these guys, they were along this line that an archaeologist somewhere in New York dug down 10 feet. And he found some copper wire down there, and he assessed from finding that copper wire so far down that they had a network of communication at least 100 years ago, some sort of telephone network. And then some archaeologist in California wasn't going to be outdone, so he dug down, and he went 20 feet and found some wire. So he assessed from that they'd had some sort of communications devices, that wires were run back and forth 200 years ago. Bubba from out in Texas somewhere in the prairies there, out there, he dug down 30 feet on his farm. He found absolutely nothing, so he concluded, since everything's bigger and better in Texas, that 300 years ago, Texans had gone wireless. So, if you're from Texas, you're welcome. So, I want to look at this one verse this morning and trust it'll be a blessing to you. And I thank the Lord we can have fun. We come to church. And I know that some folks, once in a while, not very often, but once in a while, people will get on to me for joking and laughing. But truly, folks, this journey that we're on is supposed to be a wonderful journey. Amen. We ought to be the happiest group of people. We should be happier this morning than the folks meeting at these bars were last night. And I promise you one thing, after we're done, we won't have the sorrow that what they experienced brought to them. And that's what I want to preach about this morning. The Bible says in Proverbs 10, verse number 22, "The blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich." And folks, you're going to have to admit that you are a rich group of folks this morning. and he addeth no sorrow with it. Many people this time of year, they will be partying and having all kinds of get-togethers, and almost always, in the world's eyes, almost always, that includes alcoholic beverages where you can get a little tipsy, you can get a little inebriated, you can get a little bit of a buzz, you can get these things. Almost always, they include that on there. And they say, we're having the time of our lives. But oftentimes, you know, my brother's a state trooper, oftentimes in the drunken state that people get into is where they end up hurting themselves or killing themselves or hurting somebody else out on the highways. And if that's not what they do, they say, oh, no, we know to be smarter than that. Then it's quietly then wreaks havoc on your insides, and you've got other things that are working against you. And I understand that this time of year that's very popular, but my friend, be careful what we say when we're looking at folks and say, boy, are they having a big time. What the scripture says is God adds the blessings of life, but there's not a negative side of what God does to you. Amen. Somebody, preachers, put it like this, that all of the advertisements and all of the agencies for alcohol and cigarettes and all of the things of that lifestyle, they show you the front door. They just never show you the back door where you exit out. I want to preach a little while this morning about the blessings that God gives in this verse without sorrow. Bless us, Father, is our prayer. Lord, would you give us these next few moments, and may we sense your touch upon what goes on. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm glad I'm here to say that when God adds his blessings to your lives, there's no hangovers, there's no leftovers, there's no anything that fits on. You think about this time of year for leftovers, you know, you have your, the way we always knew at our house when I was growing up, turkey you had on Thanksgiving Day, and then the next day you had leftovers, the next day you had turkey sandwiches, and then next day getting into Saturday and Sunday. We always knew about sometime, and Mama get the biggest one she could get, about sometime in this coming week when you got to have turkey salad. That was, Mom's was not fancy. It was just Miracle Whip and ground up turkey, you know, some kind of chopper or something. So, praise the Lord and glory to the Lamb forever. Whenever you got to turkey salad, you knew turkey was almost gone for another year. Leftovers. But these kind of leftovers that I'm talking about are not that kind, because what the world offers is fun, and what the devil offers for a good time offers hangovers and leftovers after the fact that always bring trouble with it. But my friend, God says that his blessings that he brings, it doesn't give those sorrows that add to it. One study I read says that right now at Thanksgiving time, that 14% of Americans are still in debt from their Christmas last year. Now, lots more Americans than that are in debt, but I'm talking about specific Christmas debt from the year's previous Christmas presents. Another study shows that 1 in 3 Americans will go in debt this year to finance their Christmas. And then I'm sure probably statistics will hold true that next year about this time, 14 or 15% of those ones will still be in debt 11 months later. And so I'm saying this because we can't even give gifts without adding sorrow to it. Folks, don't go in debt for your Christmas present. I can tell you what I want. I can make sure that you have everything that I want on your list, but please don't go in debt for it. Don't go in debt for the others as well. I'm thinking about this. The gifts that God gives, it doesn't add sorrow to it as our blessings. Even when we try to be good to somebody, we all often mess it up and we add sorrow to it. And so God blesses us, and it truly is sorrow-free. Aren't you amazed at how many marketing things there are in all of the packaging that you go to the store? It's gluten-free, it's sugar-free, it's this-free, it's this-free, it's this-free. I'm looking at some things. I saw some ad for meat or something that said gluten-free. I thought gluten-free, or I don't know what gluten is exactly, but it's certainly in a lot of things. And I thought to myself, hamburgers didn't ever have gluten in them. I thought they were, so they just put free, gluten-free, this-free, it's for your paleo diet, your vegan diet, your this diet or that diet. Just listen, here's a good rule of thumb. If it tastes good, it's not what you're supposed to eat. Find whatever tastes horrible, and that's probably what you're supposed to have. But God's blessings are sorrow-free. Again, we can't even love one another and exchange gifts or greetings without having a little taste or a little twist of selfishness in it. That's just the way we are. We're fleshly. We haven't got rid of this old flesh yet. But God Almighty gives us those blessings, and they're sorrow-free. I want you to see, number one, the origins of the blessings. In their verse, the blessing of the Lord. And I see the origins of the blessings. I sometimes, as a pastor, just want to be a cheerleader for the Lord. Not that he needs a cheerleader. Not that he needs somebody, because he is all in all. He's before all. He's after all. He's forever that way. He's forever that way. He's too high that way. He's too low that way. He doesn't need any cheerleaders. But sometimes, as I get to meet people out through the week, I just want to say, hip, hip, hooray for God, the Creator, because there's so many people in the world that are trying to put down everything that God does. There's so many people in the world that are trying to bring out everything negative about you, strange Christians, everybody trying to bring out something negative about you folks that do this. And sometimes you just want to be a cheerleader for the Lord. We have a tendency to complain and to question and to bellyache about everything, but I'm telling you this morning, we have a great and mighty God that's blessed you and I beyond what we can imagine. The Bible says in Proverbs 19 that a prudent wife is from the Lord. In Psalm 127, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. It gets to a point where you think, seems like everything good in my life, God brought it. As a matter of fact, I have a verse for that too, because in James chapter 1, it says every good and every perfect gift is from above. Whoever you're grabbing hold of this morning and saying, I'm thankful for this family, whatever you're going home to say, I'm thankful for this shelter, whatever you look at your bank account, whether it's got 1,000 or 100, hundreds of millions in there, you're saying, God has blessed this old boy. And every time that we see something good in our lives, we ought to rehearse the fact that God has been good to us. Seems like every bad thing that happens, people say, why does God let bad things happen to good people? Why did God let this come upon me? Why did God do this and why did God do that? And I understand the questions, and I'm sure I'm part of those as well sometimes, but I'm thinking about this on the opposite side. We woke up this morning and most of us haven't even given that time to thank God for the breath that stayed in our lungs all through the night. Now, if we have an accident on the way home, I'll say, well, God, why'd you let that happen? But I didn't thank him for my children that came home for Christmas, as many of yours did. I didn't thank him for the family that he's given. I didn't thank him that I was able to go through the day. We traveled hundreds of miles just to get over back and forth to Murfreesboro. And Jared, our firstborn, he'll travel back over there tonight to fly out of Nashville to go back to Pensacola. And sometimes we just forget all of these blessings that God has just mounted upon us. My friend, I'm just trying to tell us that the origin of the blessing, the good things that you've got in your life, came from the Lord. I see not only the origin, but the value. Look again in your text. The Bible says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Am I rich? You say, well, according to my net worth, I would say no. Well, what if I am rich according to my net worth, or according to everything that I've got in my bank account or in my stocks or in my real estate portfolio or all this? What if I am rich in the world's eyes according to that? Am I rich biblically? You know, the Bible says, for what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? There's a whole lot of folks in this world that are the richest beyond rich. But unless they're a believer in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness and sacrifice of their sins, my friend, they're poorer than the poorest Christian that walked through these doors ever. When John Rockefeller, we think about Jeff Bezos being one of the richest men he is, and we think about Bill Gates and these men, and they top the list of richest men in the world right now, but one that would surpass both of those, if you equaled it out, would be John Rockefeller. John Rockefeller, when he was asked, how much money is enough? It's said that he replied, just a little bit more. You say, well, that's a great motivation, it could be. Depends on which way we look at it. I'm saying that it's a moving target. A movie star from the 50s, I forget which one it was, but when he was asked, how do you face death? He held up a wad of money and he said, this helps. And my friend, there will come a time when not that or 1,000 other bundles of money will help one bit. I'm not trying to put down people who've got money. I want to be one of them one of these days, I tell you. God's given us all so much. We're rich, folks. I'm not against anything. I say that God giveth us richly all those blessings to enjoy. What the Lord has done in your life, thank Him for it. Use it for His glory. And don't bellyache around or don't complain and say, well, maybe I shouldn't have it. If God didn't want you to have it, He wouldn't have given it to you. Use it for Him. I'm not getting on anybody that's got lots. But remember that God gives you, so you gives it to you, so you do the right things with it and do good with it. But I'm just trying to tell us it's time that we start, as the Bible says, rightly dividing what it really means to be blessed and rich. Because this verse would have been given to Christians down through the ages who literally wouldn't have had two nickels to rub together. And can you imagine a Christian sometime in history or even today in some other nation that looked at this verse and says, the blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich, but I'm not rich. But then I'd say, are you? We need to rightly divide what it truly means to be rich. This Bible, again, is not against you having riches. No, but it is against riches having us. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 13, there is he that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing, and there is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. We might get to heaven and find that the richest Christian around was the one you thought, and rightfully so, had nothing on this earth. I'm talking about the value of the blessing. First, we looked at the origin. Folks, don't make the mistake of thinking that the reason you are so wealthy or you are so blessed or the reason you have the financial freedom or the standing that you do is because you made such great decisions. Maybe they did come from some of the good decisions. Who gave you the mind to make the decisions? Who gave you the head that holds the brain? God. The origin of the blessing, the value of the blessing, and then I gave you the last, the peace of the blessing. The Bible goes on to say in our one verse that we've just tried to tear apart this morning, and He addeth no sorrow with it. All of us have had fun and regretted it. Maybe because we just spent too much money, we went, if all of you spent as much money as I did on Black Friday, you're in good shape, because I didn't spend any. Except for gas money, I guess. We've all had those, purchases you make, those impulse buys and regretted them later. We've all had some fun and regretted it. We've all maybe taken a joke too far one time. We were around our family and then later we regretted it. We've all had some times when we did something, but later, if we could have done it all over again, we'd have said, oh, I would never have done that. We've all regretted some things, but regret and remorse is that terrible plague that comes when we partake of the world's offerings of a blessing, a fun or making a funny or whatever. But you will never sit with your head in your hands sobbing about the blessings that you partook of when God saved your soul. A friend of my wife's, her dad had left his family and because they were not believers in Christ, and so he may had to make a stark transition from that family out, and they turned their back on him. And he regretted the sever that was made between the family, but he never regretted trusting Christ as his Savior. My friend, the blessings of the Lord, they don't add sorrow to it. If you were a recipe maker and you'd say, what are you saying? I'm saying that doesn't have any calories in it. It's guilt-free. The blessings of the Lord, they add no sorrow to it. Don't you love it when a friend of yours does a favor with no expectations of anything in return? He just did it because he loves you. Well, my friend, God saved us. God walks with us. God blesses us. God goes with us everywhere we are. God never leaves us, never forsakes us. God is your high tower. God is your buckler. God is your shield. God is your protector. God is the one that looks out before you have in God. He's the light to your feet. He's the lamp to your path. He is all those things. He is everything. He is all. As Jesus said to his disciples, I am. And when we realize that, like the one old preacher said, well, how, I am what? And the old preacher answered back, well, Jesus would be, I am whatever you need. Amen. That's who we've got. And His blessings that He gives you and He gives me, they don't add sorrow to it, my friend. They are more than guilt-free. They are more than regret-free. They're more than remorse-free. They don't bring any of those things with it. The blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich, yet He addeth no sorrow to it. You won't walk down the street and say, boy, I wish I hadn't gotten that blessing of the Lord. There's no downside to it. The peace of His blessings. Not far from my house or Brother Pastor Bussey's house, Jack Whitaker years ago, early 2000s, I believe, won the lottery. He could either get it taken out over so many years or take it in a lump sum, and he did $170 million after his uncle got his part, Uncle Sam. Then he got $113 million. Within 2 years of him winning the lottery, thieves stole out of his car $544,000. The manager of the club that he often frequented was found guilty of trying to drug him and rob him. His granddaughter's boyfriend was found overdosed on drugs and died at Jack's house. His granddaughter was later found dead, wrapped in a tarp with drugs in her system, and Jack Whitaker, the fella, was arrested for different DUIs, all that within two years of when he won that. There's other events that are on there, but those are just some of the highlights. And that happened down around Taze Valley, Scott Depot, somewhere around there, Hurricane West Virginia, not too far from home. Several times he was quoted as saying, I wish I had just torn up that ticket because it ruined his life. He was already a millionaire before that happened. He had already built a successful contractor's business. He was loaded before he bought that. He said, I wish I'd, on different occasions, he had said, I just wish I'd tore it all up. It brought so much heartache to his family. He said, all of a sudden, I couldn't find out who was my friend and who just wanted a piece of me. He said, family and extended family, people came out of the woodworks all wanting to get close to me now. My friend, that's a picture of how the world. That's a small picture of how the world in a whole does all of us. They're trying to get what they can get out of you. They're trying to squeeze what we can. Every advertiser is trying to squeeze just a little bit of your worth out of your account into their account. And even every businessman or everybody that's on marketing that's trying to get you involved in their business is trying to use you to build their business. What I'm trying to say this morning is exactly what the Word of God says. You, if you're a Christian today, born again believer, you have found the only thing that addeth all blessings and doesn't add any sorrow to it. So let's let Thanksgiving not just be another season, but let's remember the origin of the blessings. Your blessings have come from the Almighty. Remember what the Word of God says, every good and every perfect gift cometh from above. And let's remember the value of these blessings in its time. It's a perfect season. We're getting ready to go into Christmas time. It's time for us to start valuing the things that really matter. As I've told you before, one person put it like this. I got to the end of my life and I realized the most important things weren't things at all. And then let's start remembering the peace that God gives. We're entering into the Christmas season where Jesus said, or said about Him, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Peace is a wonderful thing that the world knows very little about. What do they consider peace? Sitting in a lazy boy chair with a cup of coffee and the sports page. This is a peaceful Sunday morning. What do they know about peace? Sitting on a porch somewhere, looking out over a lake. That is peaceful. But that's trying to bring peace in from the outside to the inside. The peace that I'm talking about that God gives comes from the inside and comes out. Amen. The goodness of God is what saved you. The goodness of God is what will stay with you the rest of your life. And you will not find any sorrow added to it. If you're here this morning and you're a born-again believer, you're a Christian. Born-again is just a Bible phrase. If you're a Christian, you're saved, another Bible word. If you're a Christian this morning, my friend, you have got the biggest blessing that any creature has ever known, and that is salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning and you're not sure that you're saved, you can be. Jesus said He came to this world to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus has been looking for you. If you're not saved, then today would be the greatest day, could be the greatest day of your life if you would receive Jesus Christ into your life for the forgiveness of your sins and take Him as your personal Savior. And if you're not saved, I challenge you to do that. And if you are saved this morning, maybe you've needed this reset button push. Maybe you've needed this reminder. Maybe you've needed to come to this service this morning to just get in tune with what really matters in this life. That God, the great God, the benevolent God, great God of all blessings, from whom all blessings flow, that God has given and given and given, and He's given all the blessings, and He doesn't add any sorrow to it. Let's stop looking for our blessings out in the world. Let's stop looking for our happiness out where the world, because it can't deliver anyways. Let's stop looking for our joy at a place that can't produce joy. Let's look for it in the Lord. Would you pray with me together? Father, thank You for this morning. Thank You for the chance to be in Your house, dear God. I pray, dear Lord, that You would remind every soul that's here this morning that, dear Lord, if they're not saved, they need to be saved. And Lord, if they're saved and they've been looking for joy, contentment, peace, happiness in all that the world has to offer, Lord, remind them again this morning that they will not find it because it is not there. They could go on 10 shopping sprees of $5,000 each and there would be remorse. There would be regret. If it wasn't regret for spending the money, it would be regret for counting on that experience to bring happiness because it would let them down. Father, help us, I pray. Friends, folks, if you're here and you're saved, you have got the greatest blessing that this world has ever known, salvation. If you're not saved, when we stand, I'm going to invite you to come. Brother Kyle will be standing down here in front of the pulpit and would love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure Jesus is your Savior. Heaven's your home. Peace of God is in your soul. If you need some other spiritual decision to be made, maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We've got some today that want to do that. Maybe you need to be baptized. You're saved, but you've never followed Christ in baptism. You'd love to come and present yourself for that. And we'll meet with you soon, and we'll get that taken care of. So very quickly, we'll get it done, a service real soon. Whatever your spiritual need is, I don't want you to walk out without it being met. Let the Lord meet your needs. We'll thank Him for it. Bless us, Father, is our prayer. And we'll thank You for all these things. Would you stand together as the ladies play something through? If God has spoke to your heart, I invite you to come. How about it, my friend? Are you sure that you're on your way to heaven? It's not a tricky thing. It's not a complicated thing. It's not expensive to us. It costs our Heavenly Father, His Son. He sent His Son. But if you're not sure that you're saved, would you step out and come? Let us take a Bible and show you how you can be sure heaven's your home. Perhaps you have some other need in your heart and you'd like for somebody to pray with you. Just come to the front here, and if you're a lady, we'd have a lady deal with you and just pray with you. Maybe you know all that you know what you need. You just want some prayer support. This altar's open for you. As they play one more verse, if God's speaking to your heart, this altar's open for you. If you need some help, or you need somebody to pray with you, just catch the eye of Brother Kyle down here at the altar and love to pray with you. Thank you, thank you. May look this way. And what a joy. I hope that you noticed on the way in the beautiful, beautiful decorations. I came back in, and Miss Marcia, and who she had help with her, but does a great job, phenomenal job on our decorations. And we're so thankful for the look of the season being here in the auditorium and out in the lobby, and we're so excited about Christmas. That's why we put those little tracts invite cards on your pew today. If you didn't get some, there's some back on guest services, the counter back there. Take a few of those and get them out before these events come. It's a wonderful way. I find that Christmas is the greatest time to pass out tracts, especially if you can have a Christmas tract. Because it's so easy. Just say, well, there's some Christmas events going on in our church. And people, even the world, are a little bit more open to a Christmas Eve service or a candlelight service or this. So challenge you to take those, and we'll certainly appreciate that. Well, we do have one exciting announcement. Miss Karen Cole and Sharon Cole, sisters, twin sisters, sisters of Brother Tom Cole. But they are, most of you know them, they're... I saw them here earlier, but they've come. Oh, they're right back there in the back behind Jerry Love Grove. And they're wonderful Christian ladies. They're saved and baptized, love the Lord, and they'd like to unite with Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And we've been praying for Christy, their daughter and niece, for some time, and she's doing better. But we're so thankful for these ladies, and they want to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And so we need a motion that we take them into membership. Brother Richard Ball back there, Brother Scott Martin seconds it. All in favor? Say amen. Amen. All opposed, same sign. Praise the Lord. We're so excited about that. And these ladies are a real, real blessing. If you haven't got to meet them yet, I trust that you will very, very soon. Thank you for being in church. We're looking forward to a great night tonight. We've got several special things going on in the service. And I don't want you to miss any of it. We'll see you back at 6:30. And I think that's it. Kyle, is it? All right. God bless you. Happy Thanksgiving. After this, it's Merry Christmas. You're dismissed.